Back on Rutherford Issues here on WGNS AM/FM. Glad you're with us here on this Back to Work Monday. 86 degrees, sunny skies out there as it greets you on an afternoon drive home. Don't forget we're talking sports at 4 o'clock on All Sports Talk. Right now we're going to open up some conversation about great things going on within the Murfreesboro City School System and some new programs being used this year in instruction. Karen Hawkins is joining us, coordinator of curriculum, and she brought Carissa Brooks with her as well, the coordinator of reading and instructional intervention. And how is it that Carissa has a longer title than you, Karen? How did that work out?
They knew I couldn't remember long things.
If I hadn't written it down, I couldn't remember it either. Do you have a larger business card or anything?
It's because I'm smarter.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's what I said. And that's why she needs the longer title.
That's right.
What is a coordinator of curriculum? What is it that you do, really?
Well, as far as curriculum is really the what. Mm-hmm. It's what we teach. And kind of mingles in with the how we teach, but really the standards that we get from the state and how we deliver that material to the students is really part of the big idea of the what we teach.
Mm-hmm. There are so many more people involved than there used to be right now, I guess.
There really are.
State, federal level, and everything like that. Now, reading has taken on such a big importance. My kids are in the county system because I don't live in the city, but I know that reading is so important, and we have reading logs, and we're doing all of these different things, which I think is great. My kids have been read to or reading with a book in their hand all the time, so I know the importance. But I mean, there's now a special coordinator for reading, so there is an importance to it.
Correct, because reading touches everything. If you have difficulty reading, you're going to have trouble in all subjects, including science, social studies, and even math. Because if you look in the testing in math, it's word problems. It's not simple calculations anymore. It's applying those problems to real life. So reading really touches everything.
You know, I see that a lot. My daughter, hopefully this cast is coming off this week, but she fractured her wrist, and it happens to be the one that she writes with. So it's been an interesting three and a half weeks or so for us. But doing some homework, she would do the math problems with her left hand, and then I'd help rewrite the math problems. But a lot of them were word problems.
Great.
You know,
right.
So I can definitely see the importance of reading and comprehending what you're reading there. Well, we're here to talk about some new programs, and Karen, I guess we can start with you. New programs that are being used in terms of instruction, and maybe you can help guide us in which directions we want to talk about today.
Okay. Well, we have state standards that come to us in Murfreesboro City, and a few years ago those standards changed, and they're much more rigorous than they were several years ago. So with that, we found that our curriculum materials weren't really aligned to those standards. And so this past year, the state of Tennessee as a whole adopted math textbooks. So every system in the state of Tennessee was able to look at math textbooks for adoption. And we adopted a program called Everyday Math for grades K through 5. And then we have a different series, Hope Math, for grade 6. But in Murfreesboro, we had not adopted a reading program it's been 10 years. And the last cycle of adoption, we didn't adopt. We, for whatever reason, the district chose not to do that. So because we feel like that reading is so important and we had a lot of work to do in that area, we decided as a district to make a special appeal to the state to allow us to adopt a reading series as well. So that's really unusual, because usually you just adopt one per year. But we felt like that reading was so important that we needed to look at both. So for reading, K-6, we adopted a program called Reading Street. So every student in Murfreesboro City this year have new math and new reading textbooks. And that's been quite a challenge, because we've had to do lots of professional development so the teachers would understand what was in those materials and how to deliver it effectively. And it's been a challenging year, plus ordering them and getting all the materials So it's been exciting.
Now, when you order these new textbooks and they come in, how long had you been in the reading book, the old one?
It's been 10 years.
10 years. Okay, so you have a teacher who maybe has taught 10 years and has been and knows this book and knows exactly what her lesson plan is going to be, et cetera, and now this new book. I guess that's what the planning and the and all goes together.
That's true. One of the things that we found was that our reading books have not been effective for a while. So a lot of the teachers weren't even using those books.
Oh,
they
wow.
were having to pull resources on their own. And that's a lot of work to make that happen.
So very important, Carissa, to give them the tools that they need to teach the kids.
Correct. What I found last year, but she and I both started last year, last August, and what I found with reading is that not only were teachers having to pull all their materials for their 90-minute reading block, they were also having to pull materials for intervention. We have built-in interventions at each school, 30 to 45 minutes, where we do reading instruction for students that are struggling or students that are above level to meet all of their needs. And also for during small group during their 90 minutes, pulling stations for the other kids to be working on. So what we found was teachers were doing a lot of work for one day of instruction. And what was really important to us is that we had a guaranteed and viable curriculum. That means if a student goes from one school to the next, that they not only have to adjust to a new school, they were having to also adjust to new curriculum because everybody was kind of doing something different. So we wanted to get everybody to the point where we were using the same materials.
Talk a little bit about the work that goes on within the schools, because there are actual reading coaches, I've heard that word used, and actual teachers who help with just reading in each of the schools. Is that right? And you're kind of over some of them?
Well, what we have are interventionists. We don't actually have reading coaches.
Mm-hmm.
The reading coach model is going into the classroom and helping the teacher.
Okay.
We switched our model to interventionist, and what the interventionists do is they work with small groups of children that are really struggling. So we moved from working with the teacher to working with the children.
Mm-hmm.
So it's our job, and we have another person in curriculum that goes around and makes sure that we're helping teachers implement curriculum, but the people within the school are working with children.
Okay. Well, I just had spoken with someone from John Pittard, I guess,
yeah.
It was a couple of years ago, and that was kind of their
reading coaches.
Their job,
yes,
you know,
right.
So that's changed. Boy, you're doing a lot of changing every year, huh?
Yes.
these are models that have obviously been effective.
Correct. And all of this is under the model of response to instruction, and what that means is it's a tier model of teaching reading or even math, mm-hmm. and that everyone gets core instruction, but you're making sure that you're assessing and finding the children that are struggling, and then doing interventions based on kids' needs so they can move down the tiers, and so it gets more intensive as kids have more needs.
Karen, you hear a lot about classrooms with, you know, some kids far ahead, some kids behind, and then a core group in the middle, and where are the teachers teaching, and how do you get them all together? So this kind of breaks it apart to bring the kids who are far ahead to keep them there, I would assume, and the kids who are behind to bring them up toward the medium of the other kids who are in the classroom.
That's correct. In Tennessee, we have something called value-added. So what value-added does is it takes children, a cohort of children, and it measures how much they've gained in a year. So we're always looking for that year's growth or beyond for all students. And one of the things that's really important when you're selecting curriculum is to make sure that that curriculum is broad enough that it meets lots of different levels of students. And with both of these sets of materials in the teacher's edition, they have recommendations of activities that work for students that are below grade level, on grade level, and advanced. So by doing assessments, they know exactly where their students fall, and when then they teach the whole group introduction to the lesson, and then they can very quickly divide those students up and provide different assignments to meet their needs. So that was a really important piece when we were looking at all these materials, is to make sure that differentiation was there and that we could ensure that all of our students were growing. because it's just as important to help those students that come in on grade level or above to get a benefit from their education.
Yeah, you know, I think about the days when, you know, the kids, well, back when I was in school, you went to class, you were in class with the same teacher all day, and you learned this subject, and an hour later you go to this subject, and it was just, that's what it was. And hopefully, but so many more people have contact with the kids to help them nowadays. It's totally, the school experience is very different than it used to be.
Very different.
It is. And I think one of the things when you look at what we're asking teachers to do, when we're asking them to plan and select materials that are on all those different levels, it's a huge task. Mm-hmm. So that's why these materials are so important. Now, right now, they're struggling because they're really having to learn these new materials, figure out what's the most important thing and how to pull all those pieces together within their hour or their hour and a half block without running out of time. But as time goes on, they'll be much more comfortable with them, and we're beginning to see it with math. They're getting the flow, but the reading materials, because it was a late adoption, we're still, you know, trying to figure it all out, but hey, it's a lot better than where we were this time last year.
Sure. Well, the curriculum has to change, I would assume. You have to, I mean, I don't want to say it's a minute-to-minute change, but there has to be a willingness to, if the kids just don't get it, what are we going to do to help them to get it?
That's
you know, and each classroom is different. You give them the tools, but then what can the teacher do with them?
And that's where the implementation comes in.
Yeah.
And making sure that we provide them the support so that they can be successful. And we spend a lot of time in buildings, in grade level meetings, talking to them about this implementation and trying to help them find solutions to some of the things they're running into.
We are talking today with Karen Hawkins, who is coordinator of curriculum with Murfreesboro City Schools, and Carissa Brooks, who is the coordinator of reading and instructional intervention. All right, that sounds so impressive. Getting back to reading, how important is it for kids to be in a book at home, do you think?
Well, it's kind of like, if you're a musician, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Is practice. And practice is so important for students to increase their fluency, become more automatic with reading. Because we can teach kids the code, but until they become automatic, that's really when their comprehension will take off. If they're spending all their time decoding the words, or they're just calling words and not, you know, actually comprehending what they read, the practice is the biggest thing. So for kids to read at home, that's why you have those reading logs coming home. It's one of the best predictors of how well children will do, is whether they practice.
You know, this is my daughter's in third grade, so this is the big year for math, multiplication, you know, and we're really heavily into that. And something that we actually went to a meeting to talk about, this is what we're trying to do to get these kids a good base for math. But that the foundation for reading comes so much earlier. The foundation for math and multiplication and what these kids are going to use from now on really heats up in third grade. But you're starting these kids in kindergarten really with the foundation that they need for reading.
Correct. In math, that's called number sense, where kids become automatic with the numbers. In reading, it's phonemic awareness and phonics, where children really start to understand the code to the language. And they have it in an auditory sense before they even have it in that print sense. Mm-hmm. They understand rhyme and, you know, that all that wordplay. That's all very important for reading. But those are, it's actually called the building blocks of reading. So the way you put it is exactly right. It's their foundation for learning.
Without that foundation, it makes it very, very difficult to continue. I mean, if you're behind, it's hard to catch up when you're trying to build the foundation correctly.
Correct, and that's why we have those built-in interventions, because we identify those gaps in their foundation, and then we literally go in and fill in those gaps with our interventionist and the classroom teachers as well.
So there's more time actually spent to try to get them
on top of their reading. There's at least 30 minutes. Most have 45 more minutes built into their day. Where nothing new is taught. They're just going in and either filling in gaps or enriching the students that have it, so just taking them deeper.
Yeah. The fact that my kids love to read, there are kids who, I don't know what it is one way or the other, the thought of picking up a book just isn't on their A-list.
Correct.
You know, but there's a change in attitudes with kids, and I think that's what's being taught in the classroom as well, isn't it? I mean, that reading can be fun. It's not necessarily, right. you know, one of those have-to things.
And that's where it goes back to the materials. When you're picking materials or programs as well, you want to be sure that they're high interest. And so when we were looking at different programs, we wanted to find something that was really appropriate for children, but also something they would be really interested in.
If it doesn't interest them,
they're not going to do it.
They're not, you know.
Right.
Is it any different with you or with me, you know?
Absolutely
no.
No.
If it's not of interest, we're probably not going to do or at least do it as well. So,
right, especially if it's hard for you. If it's something that's hard and not interesting, you're kind of at a double loss there.
The library is an important place in the school now, too. Isn't it?
Oh,
Not that it wasn't before, but I mean, it's
very important.
Really utilized. I can remember going, and this is how you search the card catalog, and you can check out a book a week or whatever. It's that experience is totally different now, too.
Oh, it's part of the curriculum now, where it's all linked. You know, what they're doing in the classroom, because what do they do in the library as well?
Anything else that you want to touch on? I know we've talked a lot about reading, Karen, but you know, and the new math books and things of that nature. All of that is exciting stuff. Does your work when kids are gone in the summertime and they're on vacations? I would assume that it's pretty busy for you, isn't it?
It is. There's a lot of preparation that goes into the start of the school year, and this year it's been extremely so with the new resources coming in, but the planning and all those things keeps us busy year-round.
Yeah, I can only imagine. So are there things, different programs, anything else that you want to pass along to us today?
Well, we're just really streamlining the materials to become where we know everything we're doing is research-based. Everything we're doing is in the best interest of kids. It's kind of like getting rid of the fluff. You can have fun, but also really focusing in and honing in on those standards and teaching what we have to teach.
That's what you can make fun, you know.
Oh, yeah. It can be fun.
Kids love to really be involved and doing things. And when you can make that fun, you know, and add in something that captures their attention, I think, like with my daughter, the problem sometimes is they're not really interested in, you know, maybe over her head, or, you know, she wants to, she's more interested in girls' books and, you know, bunnies and ponies and things like that. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as she's in them and reading them. And that's what keeps her interested versus reading about superheroes, which would be up my son's alley.
Correct.
I want to say one thing about the everyday math. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the fun part of it.
Yeah.
There, in every classroom, there's a games component to everyday math. And with those games, they play games to help them memorize those facts you're talking about. So they may have five or six different card games that they use, or they have board games. They have all these different kinds of things that they can do to help really hone in on those skills and make it fun and exciting. So math instruction looks a little bit different this year, because hopefully every day students have an opportunity to play with the numbers and really drill those in.
We have an iPad at home. The kids really enjoy it, and Netflix and all this kind of thing. But one thing that was, my wife said that my daughter picked up the iPad the other day, and what she was playing was a multiplication game, which made me feel really good.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're very inexpensive. If you've got a device like that, computers, there's so many resources out there that make learning fun.
That's right.
So teachers are really good about knowing where all of this stuff is, too. I mean, if you ask a teacher, can you give me two or three websites that my kids can go on where it's teaching the fundamentals of, you know, reading or math, and you can really help reinforce that at home, I know you'll get more answers than you really ask for.
That's true.
But in our reading and math series, both have a strong technology component with it as well.
That's the world we live in, isn't
it? Yes,
it
is. Right. We have to change with it.
That's very true. Well, ladies, thanks for coming in today. I know have been very hectic with Murfreesboro City Schools, but it's just that time of the year, I guess.
Yes, it is. Thank
Appreciate you.
You
coming in. Yes, ma'am.
Appreciate it.
Karen Hawkins, Coordinator of Curriculum, and Carissa Brooks, the Coordinator of Reading and Instructional Intervention, joining us here on Rutherford Issues. And we will take a break, come back, and have much more. Actually, not a lot more. We're going to talk some sports, though, at 4 o'clock. I'll wrap things up in a second.
Rutherford Issues. We're everywhere you need to be. The Good Neighbor Network. WGNS, Murfreesboro.